have an opportunity to know what God's word is in spirit and in truth. Please pray with me and for me as the Lord has given us a word to hold into our heart. To those of you that are at home, I'm thankful and blessed and happy to be here and serving with you in this time. The theme or the topic for today, and you'll see in a second or it's in your bulletin, now that 2020 is over, .. This came to me a couple weeks ago or months ago, about a month ago, a little over 3 weeks ago, Pastor Tony said, hey, I'm going to be out of town. Would you like to share the word? I was like, yes, okay. This is not my first time having the experience or opportunity. So I'm thankful to be here in this setting and this time. I share the word from a script. So I have a group of words or a script that I have written out, and I'm going to stay pretty close to it. So please pray for me that if I deviate over here, that I get back to the lectern, because if I get over there, I'll probably be in somewhere where I'm really just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And sometimes when the Lord works with me, I'm like Jeremiah. It gets so good that it's like burning on the inside of me, and then I start weeping, and people are like, why is he crying? Because the word gets like that on the inside of me, because I want to know, I want to share and encourage you how the Lord is working with me on the inside. So just to let you know that. A couple of other things that I would like to share with you. These are disclaimers about me. When I'm referring to me, I'm talking about you. And when I'm referring to you, I'm talking about me. I learned that from a pastor a long time ago who actually said, you know, we do that all the time. We say, well, Brother Paul, you need to do this. And person, you need to do that. It's like, well, you're saying that to him, but you're actually talking about yourself. So the word is like that. When the word is coming from the Spirit, it's speaking to all of us. And especially the person that has been dealing with it and working with it and internalizing it, it's really worked on me to tell me, whew, now that 2020 is over, .. The next thing is sometimes I say things backwards. I might say, the door green is over there. And you're like, what did he just say? Just flip it in your mind and say, oh, he meant to say, there is a green door over there. A couple more things. I'm a teacher by trade, so I use my arms a lot. I like to get active interaction. So if something feels good to you, you got to say, oh, that was so good. You can say it out loud. If you say amen, it doesn't bother me. So we appreciate that. And then lastly, sharing the word today, I hope it challenges you to think, reflect, be inspired to go forward and do what God is calling you and me for his kingdom. He's worthy. He's worthy. So you'll see on the slide that comes up next, I am thankful for my lovely wife, Diane, and my daughter, Sierra, we are residents of Syracuse, which we never thought we would be, because I, like a few people in here, said, oh, we'll never live east of the Midwest. Well, guess what? We live in New York, Syracuse, New York. Diane and I met in Belle Fountain, Ohio. You can see the map up there. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. Diane is from Mansfield, Ohio. We came together in Belle Fountain. We started this great relationship, marriage of 32 years. I'm thankful and blessed and appreciative. God has really grown our relationship. My daughter, Sierra, just graduated from SUNY Potsdam. We're thankful for her. We've been at Syracuse Alliance for about 4 or 5 years. And in that time, Diane has served in the children's ministry. I've served in the van ministry. I'm an elder currently and worked in the food pantry as well, just helping and volunteering. We have been in many different states and places over time. You can see we lived in Ames, Iowa. I worked at Iowa State University for about 10 years. We migrated to Columbus, Ohio, lived in the northern part. You can see up there, it's called Westerville. I am a Buckeye with my master's and PhD from The Ohio State University. And I lived in Chicago most recently, worked at Chicago State. We have experienced many seasons and challenges in our journey of life. It has not always been roses and lollipops here. The scripture verse in your bulletin, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and straining forward for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So with that, I'm just going to take a minute to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to move forward. Father God, in Jesus' name, We are in love with you. We love you that you've given us the word. We've given us this opportunity and this time and this space to learn a little bit more about you. Help us to take the word, internalize it, use it for the glory, the honor, and the praise that you would have us to use it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Keep me in the circle and help us all to grow from this time and this experience. In Jesus' name, amen. So right now we're going to give you an overview of 2020, some things that have happened over the course of the year. A year ago, we celebrated the onset of a new decade. Then as the new year progressed, we all were startled when life completely paused and then shut down. We were challenged at staying home and not being engaged or involved in our normal routines. Those important things we thought were vital to our lives, our children and recreational sports and activities, our opportunities to participate in sports, going out to eat, going for entertainment, everything stopped. For our school-aged children, they had to come up, and our teachers had to learn a new way of engaging their learners online. Our high school and college seniors were intending to graduate from their universities, but it became more evident that there would be no face-to-face graduations. Businesses were impacted with the pause. Our friends and family lost jobs. Their salaries were cut. As I indicated, sports and entertainment sectors, both professionally, college, were completely stopped. Then when we thought we were making progress in the spring and summer, many of the communities we live and experience in, we saw injustices and inequities portrayed in our technology and our TV. Some of our Black and Indigenous people of color, our BIPOC people, shared that their challenges and experience with racism in their daily lives. The church committed to learning more about it, recognizing it, so that all of us could have a better understanding of the perspective of individuals who have experienced these hurts and pains due to the heightened tragic events in our news, the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and many others. Recently, we observed how we treat each other related to decisions about leaders in our country. We've forgotten, many of us have forgotten, how to maintain some civility and humanity for others' perspectives, as well as remember the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated. Nevertheless, the last 360 days have been up and down. Some topics that bring to the fore, now that 2020 is over, what next? ... There's a lot here, and my goal for us today is to dig into how this is speaking to us as a body of Christ at Syracuse Alliance. The next slide you'll see on there says, brothers and sisters, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet taken hold of it. In looking at the commentaries, as I thought about this and as I was looking at this verse, we could be here for hours giving an exegesis on both of these two verses. We don't have that much time. So my hope is to give some plain context for how this is our focus for today. In this scripture, Paul is talking to the Philippian church, and it holds a special place for him as they supported him financially and spiritually as he was in prison. In his text, the writers suggest that Paul was sharing how the ministry work he was commissioned and the knowledge that he may have of the gospel, he contended he was putting himself down. He suggested that he had not attained to perfect knowledge, did not hit the mark, had not received the prize or laid hold of eternal life. He had no such opinion of himself. In this verse, he speaks to the arrogance and vain confidence of false teachers that pretended to perfection. And in this way, he led people to conclude that they could never have arrived to it, which is that is perfection. So Paul here is providing knowledge to the church about what he perceives and is working towards. He tells them the importance of not working to try to be perfect. If you look at the verse again, it says, but this one thing I do. His focus on pursuing the things he was focused and confident in, knowing that the ministry and sharing of Jesus Christ was his mission. Many of Paul's thoughts, desires, affections, time, and labor were focused on telling others of Jesus Christ. In support of this, there's a scripture, it's not listed, but Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. But this one thing I do. And thinking about that, what about me? And when I said me, what do I say? Thank you. Do we think we are confident and focused on pursuing the ministry and sharing of Jesus Christ's mission? My wife and my family know this, that I could go out to the store and be gone for an hour. I'm going to get a jug of milk. And they're like, what did you do in the last hour? I'm like the guy, if you notice the cartoons from Little Circle, for those of you that are old to know what cartoons were in the newspaper, the Little Circle guy would drive from his house to the barn, to the shed, to other places, and different things like that. My point is that everything that we do, God is directing our steps. So I tell my family, every place I go, everything I do is a mission trip. What about us? When you go to the store, is it your mission to go do what you're supposed to do? Or are you supposed to be led by God to do something he wants you to do? Which may be encourage somebody. Or if he puts it on your mind to go someplace else as you're out doing that thing. This past season, we have experienced a lot of things that have caused us to reevaluate our priorities. Are some of the things we used to do prior to this season of life that important? When we were completely shut down, the urgent things like sports, entertainment, family, social gatherings were shut down and minimized to the point where we are in the house or in smaller groups. While these things are good to a certain extent, are they the best for us to be doing all these extra things? Some of us have spiritual and mental health difficulties as a result of being isolated and away from others. I want to introduce something to you as a way to move forward in this service. It's one of 3 points to ponder that I've listed in the bulletin. And the first one, as you can see, has a T. Somebody tell me what it means, what it is. Anybody? Time? Very good guess, but it's tell. Everybody say tell. Perhaps in this time or pause, our goal was to be forthright in telling others how good God has been in the midst of our life challenges over the past year. I have a policy or a thing that people ask me, how you doing? I said, I'm great. I might be feeling bad, but I'm going to tell you I'm great because I could always feel worse. For me, is it a matter of having a glass half full or is it half empty? I always think of the glass half full because there's always water in it. I can sip on it a little bit. I praise God for not having enough water in the glass rather than groaning about why it's not full. I'm thankful for where I come from, where I've been, because I've been in some bad places. We lived in a trailer at one time, but now we have a 4-bedroom or 3-bedroom house. I'm thankful. There's nothing I have to be ungrateful for in this time. The scripture here on the screen shows us that this idea of telling suggests this. I will give you thanks, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Psalm 9:1. In the last year, we were challenged to tell stories of being grateful and thankful in the midst of the circumstances and season that we're in. To pray and praise God for his providence and blessings in the midst of this storm. I did at times. How about you? My family members have been distressed and concerned about many things. There are a few emergencies in our family. My mother had a stroke. My daughter and I drove to Indianapolis for 30 days. That's a whole nother time I could tell you the goodness of God. From the time we arrived until the time we left, I was able to see my mother. In the hospitals in Indianapolis, they said no one could come into the hospital. The day I arrived, they changed the rule and said one person could come into the hospital. Who was the designated person to go to the hospital? Me. Why did I go to the hospital? To give thanks and tell God is good. Mom is doing great now. She's blessed and she's moving on. But the idea in this section here is telling people that God is good. My mother's a born-again baptized believer in Jesus Christ. She helped me come to know the Lord. But she needed somebody to tell her that God is good. To tell the story. So to move on. We all have had struggles. We've all had family members that are challenged and maybe have passed away. And we're like, what do we do in this time, in this season? Yet during it all, did we have a chance to move forward and tell others the goodness of God and his providence? Did you tell others who you serve and who is in control? Thank you, Jesus. This year I've seen, for instance, in this body of Syracuse Alliance, ways that we've told the story, that we've encouraged others and said, God is good. The elder and pastoral leadership earlier this year started calling members who had not been to church, sharing with them how much they're missed, how much they're valued, and how much they're loved. Another example of how we told the story at Syracuse Alliance, our services are broadcast weekly on two platforms so others can know the importance of staying in tune with the message of hope through the preached word on Sunday mornings at any time you want to watch it. I just looked at part of the service from this morning. That's a blessing. Other people can see what God is telling us here at Syracuse Alliance, even if we can't make it. Pastor Tony initiated daily devotional so the body could hear and be built up in our daily walk. This was about March or April. In our worship, we provided opportunities to meet face-to-face or engage remotely in Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. The participants who would come on Wednesday night prayer or engage online would ask for prayer, would pray. They spent time exhorting the Lord in prayer for the church and seeking prayer for their needs, for the needs of those in the church. These are just a few examples of how the church is telling the story. In what ways have you been able to share God's grace this year? In the next part, picking up, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead, there's a reference to things of the past we can't control. This reference is talking about our focus on our race as a runner. Let us look onward, as this verse is suggesting, keeping our attention focused forward and not backward. As Clark, the expositor, claims, let us not spend our time either pondering about the gloomy past or unfaithfulness or in thinking what we have done and thus become puffed up with self-complacency, but let us keep our eyes steadily on the prize. Run the race as though we had just started it. As believers, let us be focused on being cheerful, to look forward, and keep heaven always in view. We can't go back and change what happened last year. We can only be steadfast and focused on staying focused on the goal, sharing the good news and telling the story. On the next slide, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, who correctly handles the truth. As a deacon in another church, we used to call this scripture quite a bit because it really meant a lot to me and to us as we were serving in our roles. It says, in the King James Version, it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. In straining towards what's ahead, how have we shown ourselves as representatives of Christ in this season? What have we done or are doing for the kingdom of God? How have you and me shown the love of Jesus to others in this season? How can you and me be the hands and feet of Jesus in practical ways? In what ways can you and me be passionate about serving and ministering to others, but also sharing the gospel with them? How has the Lord blessed you to be compassionate, giving, and sharing of your time, your talent, and your treasure moving forward? Here's a few ways that I've seen Syracuse Alliance show the love to others and be representatives of Christ. Syracuse Alliance has showed love to the neighborhood in having a prayer walk and trash pickup. Many folks came right outside here for a couple of weeks, about 8 weeks, and we had little pickers, grabbers, that we walked down the street. We also met in prayer, prayed together, had our trash bags, walked down the street, got to know each other that we don't normally get to know or interact with on a daily basis, and we prayed for the neighborhood. We're asking God to do something big in this neighborhood, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Showing compassion and love to the Syracuse community, in the Syracuse church community, we showed compassion and love by giving food throughout the food pantry every Tuesday, and we had clothing giveaways throughout the year. We've shown love and compassion at the Syracuse Alliance by support and extending benevolence to those in need through the deacons and deaconesses who've taken on that ministry to say, hey, how can we be the hands and feet of you? How can we support you? How can we serve you? But also, do you know that Jesus loves you? And that this is a place that you could call home, that you could grow up in this place and move forward and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you think of ways you could show love, compassion, support to others in this year? Have you considered using your time, talent, and treasure recently. The second point to ponder, show, on your bulletin says, illustrates ways in which I've seen others support the ministry of the church through love, compassion, and support. Finally, the money pitch, the last thing I want to go to, is going to be this. Press. You're going to see a picture on the screen of a grilled cheese. How many people like grilled cheese? I know a lot of you do. How do you make it? You put the bread and the butter and the cheese as much as you want. You put it on there. You slap it on the heat. All right? And then you just wait. And then that heat takes over. You press it down a little bit. And then you flip it. Then you press it down a little bit more. You can see a picture of one of my other daughters, Kristen. She does powerlifting. She's on a bench press. When you press, you lift weights to get stronger. You develop and keep muscle tone. But when you bring that weight down, you have to press it up. It's an action word. Press is the root word of pressure. And you can see in this young lady, as she's pressing that up, she's initiating the push. So when we press, in the next scripture it says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's an idea of this press being the crown of life, righteousness, and glory that does not go away. It is an idea that God's grace and mercy is all in from Christ through the blessings of grace and spiritual blessings in Him. It is the eternal hope bestowed on all Christians who are runners in the race and true believers seeking the prize. Paul suggested that he was pressing for, pursuing after this with much difficulty. So in our last point on your program, it says, do. Do is to be of action. What are you doing? What am I doing? And a way to kind of put our mind around that as we press and run the race is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not as human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Doing means getting to work, being an active part of the community to help in the ministry, being present in the development and engagement of our culture, customs, beliefs, dress, traditions, language, those are all a part of culture. We have a culture here. We believe the same. We want to see people get saved the same. Let's be a part of the culture that is relevant and meaningful to all in the body. This means a focus on Christ and using your gifts, my gifts, to support the body of Christ in the local church. Pastor Tony has been preaching and encouraging us in the Word and asking us as elders and ministry leaders and team workers and partners in the ministry, would you consider doing more service in the kingdom? Some ways I've seen the ministry teams do more. The Syracuse Alliance youth leaders develop seat activity bags used to engage children in the worship so that they could be engaged and continue learning about Jesus in the service. I had never thought about something like that, but the season of life has caused us to rethink how we do things. Syracuse Alliance volunteers doing church and children's ministry when it was safe to do so were available to serve and help push the ministry of telling young people about Jesus through activities and engaging them in ways that are not like sitting here in the regular service. We've had the initiation of a study table, remote learning sessions for children and families to come to Syracuse Alliance to bring their kid and their homework here and have somebody here to help support them as they're teaching their child in this learning environment, or teaching their child for school remotely, because we have Wi-Fi access, and we're working on trying to get computers to support those kinds of things. We had a group of volunteers who stored, loaded, unloaded, stocked, distributed food, donated from a Convoy of Hope to support our Bags of Hope initiative, where we gave food to community members through the food pantry to meet their daily needs. So something to think about and something to ask yourself the question, are you present and a part of the body of Christ here at Syracuse Alliance? How are you doing the work God has gifted and called you to do in service to Him? Last year, many of us were sidelined from doing things that are part of everyday life. Sports, entertainment, family, all the things that we wanted to do, we were paused and shut down. But as we move forward into 2021, what is God calling you to do? How have you prayed and asked God for guidance as the year approached? How to be more engaged as a member of the body of Christ? All of us have gifts and talents, and God has blessed us with our gifts, and our task is to do it with all of our heart. And it is because it's not for anybody else, but it's for the Lord Christ, which we're serving. So at the beginning of this topic, I started with the message or the theme. Now that 2020 is over, .. So what does that really mean? What is the take-home message? What are you going to take from this? You already know about tell, you already know about show, and you already know about do. So the take-home message here is press on. So if you go to the front, for a lot of you that have to be, okay, what was the .. That get me, I got to go back to the beginning, so I got to put press on at the beginning of my bulletin, right? But press on. Perhaps it's time to press on and seek what God is speaking into our lives and society. We can all do something to be a part of the church community. Our task is to ask God how to lead us to do that with our skill set. We have to trust God and be people of faith and use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. Okay, I got you. I know what the press on thing is. I see the scripture. I see how it's all working together. But remember, I said press is a smaller version of the word pressure. Pressure is a verb that's called, means call to action. So I have an object that I want to just kind of talk about. And this object that you're going to see on the screen in just a second, for some of you, you know what that object is. If you're probably over 40, you know what it is. If you're under 40, you probably have no idea. I know in our household, what people do, they don't even use that anymore. They say, oh, it's wrinkled. Let's take it to the dryer, throw it in the dryer for 10 minutes, turn it on. Oh, it's good. Back in the day when I was a youngster, we would always have to press our jeans and pants and make them look nice and shiny. So I'm going to give you something. I hope this works. I hope you can see the analogy that we're trying to draw here. First and foremost, this is an iron. And with the iron, you can see there are different parts to the iron. You have a cord. And in this analogy, the cord represents God. He provides the conduit to get the energy to make it work. So in order to make that iron work, it's not going to do anything. It's going to be cold, and nothing's going to happen if you don't plug it in. So we take the cord, we plug it in. That's God. The next thing is the iron. It looks like an upside-down U for those of you that don't recognize what an iron is, the flat part right there. It looks like a horseshoe, an upside-down horseshoe. That's the metal part where the energy comes through the cord, it makes it very hot. You can make it hot, you can make it not so hot, but most of the time when I used to iron shirts, like cotton shirts, you make it real hot. Then the next part is a lot of times you can pour water in the iron, and then you can push the button and it'll produce steam. So the water and the steam with the heat of the flat iron part, the water and the steam are like the Holy Spirit. It comes through the iron from the energy generator from the cord. When the iron, the heat, and the steam are taken and we put that on the clothes, and the clothes are all wrinkled, what happens? They get straight. They become neat, pressed. And you can walk around and say, look at my neat shirt. For a lot of us, we probably never thought about this whole thing. You know, where do I fit in all this? Am I plugged in to God? Do I know who God is? Is Jesus the iron that rests in me? Does he provide the heat that makes me go out and do what I need to do? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit to really use the things that God has blessed me to do? This message is really important for us. It just says, press on. Think about that. Press on. Many of us have been challenged and worried in 2020 about what-ifs and how-tos. Most of us in here are believers. We know who Christ is. We know the whole analogy with the iron. We know how to get a clothes straight. And that's okay. But I think the thing is we have to think about is, have I pulled the plug out? Have I turned the lever down? Do I need to turn it back up so I could produce that steam, so I could do the work he's called me to do? Then others of you are like, well, geez, I don't know where the plug is. We're walking around like, you know, I want to do well. I know I was that kind of person. I wanted to do right. I was always doing good things for other people. But my mother told me, you can't get to heaven by being good enough. You cannot get to heaven. No matter how much you do, you cannot do it. So plug it in. Find out. Say, God, I know you're alive and you're there. Jesus, heat me up. Do with me what you will. And then let the Holy Spirit work in you to find the path and the things that you need to do. I know when I came into faith, I just said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I tried to do it on my own. I cannot do this. Lord, take over. Just to give you a verse, if you're not sure how to do that, Romans 9:10 says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth and believe with the heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's as simple as that. That's how you get plugged in. And then once you do that, the next thing is tell somebody. And once you tell somebody, you're holding yourself accountable. And once you hold yourself accountable, people are going to come up alongside of you and say, I'm so happy for you. I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about how that was going to help you in your life. For those of us that are believers, we could say, you know, Lord, I want to reconnect. I want to recommit. And then go tell somebody and be encouraged by somebody else. Don't hold it to yourself. I'm finishing. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward for what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So when I teach, a lot of times, you can click the next slide. The idea I have, or go back two slides, the idea I have is pressing on. And I always ask my students as a form of accountability, as a form of, you got to tell me something, because I'm not going to spend an hour and 20 minutes here, you know, having you go through a whole lot of information for you to sit there and say, thanks, goodbye, all right? But I'm not gonna mess with you like that. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. On the paper, it says, what are three things that you can do in your own life in 2021? How can you press on in 2021? What are some things that you could do that God is going to lead you to do? We're starting 40 days of prayer, so start with the 40 days of prayer. And then start asking God, where is it you want me to work? Where is it what me to do? And he'll tell you. And then once you write those three things down, my accountability to you is just tell somebody. Tell two people. And then that holds you accountable for doing what it is you're supposed to do. Pressing on will encourage you to consider the three points we've talked about. I'm going to do some choral responding. This is what I do for my students in class. What's the first one? Tell. Everybody say tell. The second one is show. And the last one is do. So tell means share how thankful you are for God's providence in your life. The glass is always half full. Show means showing others love and compassion and support. And then the last one is do. Take responsibility for doing the work God has commissioned us to do in our local circle and with our church community. Please consider these words of encouragement today. I want to pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who are not here, not able to make it. Remember, our mission as partners and friends is that we come into the new year using our gifts for God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this time and this season. We ask that you encourage us by just this word, tell, show, do. I'm thankful that I could do more, and I'm thankful that you've given us the opportunity just to hear what you have for us to say. Help us to press on in 2021. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was good. You're a good teacher. That's an iron. I just want to say, I'm 26. That's an iron, and I knew it. Okay. All right, well, let's stand up. Let's respond to this. We're going to sing the song Available, which is fun because I actually picked it before hearing this message, and it's really cool when God kind of draws things all together. And to make ourselves available to God's directives in this message and what he has for individually each one of us to do. So let's just focus ourselves and our hearts and sing this to close out our service. All right. Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may